Hello and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, and life. When people ask me the question, what kind of family did I grow up in? I generally say an entrepreneurial family. You see, my mom and my dad owned a shoe store, a shoe and clothing store to be exact. And when I was a child, I asked my dad once, where did I come from? And he said he found me in a shoebox and smiled. So I knew he was joking. I learned a lot from being associated with the retail shoe business. When you're from a small town and a large family, guess what you do? You know, you work in that business because it's a family business. That's just the way it is. And so as a boy, I was unpacking boxes and stocking shelves and picking up garbage and taking out the trash and whatever other task you sign a young boy. Sometimes I even got the day off from school to go to the big city to order shoes with my dad. Now, he was doing the shoe ordering. I was playing around warehouses and stuff. But I guess it was really like a welcome outing, and he was developing my business acumen. I was learning a few things. I believe these activities are the things that develop a person's future work ethic that later in life you apply somewhere along the way. I never, ever asked my dad why he started a shoe store. Was it because of economic opportunity? Was it because he had a dream of owning a business, or maybe he had no shoes when he was a kid? I really don't know, and I don't know the situation, but I do know that I've always had shoes on my feet, and sadly, that's not the same for everybody. I don't know what motivated him to get into shoe business, but maybe I can still find out. He did grow up during the Great Depression and the space between two world wars, and no doubt these events shaped and defined his life. For me, I have had the privilege of being part of the retail shoe business due to my family past, and I've always been interested in what's happening in shoe and the clothing industry, and actually the retail industry overall. So, you know, what has changed, and what are the challenges, and where are the opportunities today? So that is sort of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the retail shoe business or business overall in an episode that I'm dubbing Soles of Your Feet with our guest, Brian Sharfstein, CEO of Canadian Footwear. Brian, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you.
Yeah, Brian, I guess the first thing I need to sort of ask you, and I'm sure lots of people know, but for our listeners, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, my past in some ways is very similar to your own. I was born in a shoebox as well in the back of the store. I think I've been accused of that. And growing up, my three older siblings, three sisters, we all were expected to work in the family business on weekends and after school. There wasn't much of a discussion. I mean, that was just part of growing up.
That was just part of growing up. I agree.
And the discussions around the dinner table certainly were about business.
Yes.
And whatever was carried on around the dinner table did not often carry over into the living room where we might be watching TV or doing something else. But certainly growing up in a business entrepreneurial family was very much a part of my past.
Yeah, and it does sort of form you in many respects. Now, you started to get into, I'm always interested in the story, and I understand your dad started the shoe business, correct?
Is that what you said? No, my father, who came across when in the early 30s from Poland, was actually in a few different businesses between Winnipeg, Edmonton, Northern Saskatchewan, dairy, jewelry, a variety of things. But he bought a company called Patrick's Limited, started by Mr. Patrick, who was a wholesale jobber, not retail, selling stores and things like bus stations around the country side. And so he was a merchant.
Okay.
He was a merchant, and so he bought this company, and the name actually didn't change to Canadian Footwear until about 1956 or 57. And even at that stage, there was only one chair in the store. We really weren't retail.
Okay, only one chair in the store. You really weren't retail. That was it overall. That's actually quite a fascinating history. So at what point in time, and I know we discussed this before, but at what point in time did you get involved in the business?
Well, full time, it was certainly in the 70s. I got involved in the business in different, I'm going to say different capacities. I mean, I certainly started being thrown into the basement and doing inventory.
Yeah.
I was expected to do all those things that nobody else wanted to do. I guess they called us gophers as kids. We did whatever.
Pretty much we did whatever, right?
We did whatever was asked of us. And so I certainly started more full-time in at around 17 or 18 years old when I kind of broke away and said I didn't really want to work for the family business. So I started my own company at that point and gave a go at a little higher fashion, a little more trendy, tried to make a mark for myself in the business community. late adolescence, early adulthood. And that's where a lot of my learning curve was. However, I always reflected back on the teachings of my father.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, and no doubt I want to get back into where your dad started off and then going to high-end and where Canadian footwear is right now. But from when you went out on your own, you went to high-end, what are maybe a lesson learned that you've got from that experience? Because I assume that you moved away from it at some point in time.
Yeah, I moved away from it because I try to create a market here as opposed to understanding the market.
Okay, that's a really important lesson learned.
Absolutely. And wanted to make sure that where is the marketplace? Who's the demographic that we really are serving? And certainly with a lot of hindsight and a lot of experience, we know the marketplace. But at that time, we were creating. It was a lot of fun. It certainly is reflective of young entrepreneurialism, and I do state young because when we're young, late adolescents and early adults, you know, we drive fast cars, we move, we do, we think with that we can go forever. And as we, I guess, mature, we learn, and most importantly, we listen. So listening and observing are two key components when you're building a business.
Yeah, and I guess that sort of young entrepreneur spirit, you know, I've been there too. I've owned a couple of companies like yourself, and I now reflect back. I'm at a point in my life where I say that I'm of a certain vintage, and no doubt those lessons learned are important ones. At what point in time did you take over sort of more on a full-time basis of Canadian Footwear?
Never really took over.
Okay.
Never really took over. What happened was I left the family business and left what I was trying to start my own business and accepted the fact that I had some other lessons. So I actually got into the real estate business.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's really where it was towards the end of what I was trying in the shoe business and had a very successful real estate career with a company called Backman & Associates in the early 80s.
Is that like BTO Backman?
Well, it was Gary Backman
and
Barry Shankro, who at that time was the owner of the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh.
And I had some very valuable lessons taught to me at that point. And I do know that your interest rates were around 17.5%.
They're unbelievable.
Yes, yeah. In the 80s when, in fact, I left the real estate business and decided to buy the family business.
Okay. With that note, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss some more of your lessons learned and take off where you actually bought the family business. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hi, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with my guest, Brian Scharfstein of Canadian Footwear. Brian, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about how you made a transition from the real estate industry, I guess, into sort of the shoe business. And I suspect there were some lessons learned. We were talking a little bit about double-digit interest rates and the impact at that point in time. I would like to just sort of step back that. Were there any lessons learned as you came out as an entrepreneur as you came out of the real estate industry before you moved into your next successful venture?
Well, I think part of the secret to my success was the partnership I continue to have with my wife.
Oh, wonderful.
Because she's the analytical side. I've always been termed as the cheerleader in the face of the company. And so it's really been a combination of the two of us together. And we met and we worked in real estate together in the last couple of years. I made the deals and she wrote them. And so it worked really well that way. So when we looked at getting into the shoe business, which we bought because my folks, my dad was 78, my mom was 68. They passed away 9 days apart. And suddenly we were left with this family company as siblings and decided, what are we going to do with the company? And so we decided we would buy it. Interest rates being 17.5% that year, we really had to figure out financing. We really had to understand where things were, even in the retail community. And so identifying the fact that, first of all, we knew we were buying a great name. Canadian Footwear was a great name. And given that the success that it had from before, we knew when we turned the key the next day after we bought it, people would walk through the
door. You'd be doing. Why was Canadian Footwear such a great name?
I think that I've always believed think local,
okay.
Act global.
Okay.
So Canadian Footwear really tells the whole story that we do represent a country. And at that time, some of the footwear was made in Canada. That industry no longer exists in our country. And certainly there is some North American-made product, but we represent ourselves as a Canadian company.
As a Canadian company.
And people have felt very comfortable supporting us as Canadian footwear.
Now, that's an interesting question, because one of the things during our break I was sort of saying to you, I'd like to know what's going on in the shoe industry nowadays. And you mentioned about shoes in Canada. Were you just now, are you talking about like the manufacturing of shoes?
Manufacturing of shoes, yes. Because of politics and economy, certainly during the 70s and into the 80s, both Quebec and Ontario had huge manufacturing. Winnipeg had manufacturing going on. But with offshore and competition, and at that time when I say politics, the government of the time offered big incentives to grow the industry, and then the government changed and they pulled those incentives out.
Okay.
And that caused the collapse of a lot of factories that we had in Ontario and Quebec. And at the same time, there were tariffs. They were trying to protect the industry here. And certainly as we went through the 80s and the big box phenomena came in, competing with everything from the Payless to the shoe companies and all these places, the industry changed. And we had to analyze it, look at it. And for us, we had to pick a path.
Okay, so now jettison forward, I guess, a
yes.
couple of decades, because I'm assuming we're talking about a few decades ago that all
yes.
of this started to happen and everything. What is happening in the retail shoe industry today?
Well, it's taken two directions.
Okay.
One direction is what I refer to as disposable footwear. So two-thirds of all the footwear sold in the market that our consumers see today are disposable.
Okay, that's quite significant, actually, because it's funny you would say that, and I'll get to the second one, because one of the things I've noticed is the disappearance of shoe repair people. But I don't know if that's related. So let's go down the path of disposable footwear. What exactly is disposable footwear?
It's footwear that people aren't thinking about how long it will last. They're looking for price first.
Okay.
And that certainly brings in the whole e-commerce and internet, but we're not going there. But certainly that's where it's headed. The people are looking for, you know, if I go into a grocery store, so it now becomes eggs, bread, and a pair of boots.
A pair of sandals.
See often significant others just buying footwear without even thinking about size, without thinking about fit, without thinking about quality. It's a price issue. On the other end, it is a smaller marketplace, but that was the direction that we chose to go. So that doesn't mean expensive. That means we know, I don't consider us selling shoes. We sell experiences.
Okay.
What that means is that people, we educate people, know when they come in for whatever their footwear needs are, that we sell quality at a fair price. But more importantly, we provide a service. Yeah, and an experience, and that's what people are prepared to pay for.
What is some of the because you got that analytical cheerleader balance? I'm assuming you've looked at the data and everything. So you see, you provide an experience. So if you were to look at your customer feedback, what is the experience that they're saying they're receiving from you?
Confidence,
okay.
Knowledge, and trust.
Okay, so what do they mean by, I'd like to break those down a little bit if that's okay with you. So what do you mean by confidence?
Confidence, knowing that they are representing both a company, call it reputation, and the confidence is they know their product. They know what they're selling. So it's not a matter of second guessing. So when we talk to people, we know the questions to ask. We're there to listen. We're not there to sell shoes. We're there to help you buy your shoes.
Okay.
Big difference.
Okay. So that was confidence. Knowledge was the...
Knowledge is really the product knowledge and understanding things like human anatomy, understanding what daily activities are. Nobody has the same daily activities and everybody's lifestyle is different. Somebody's, their exercise might mean going down the hallway or going out the front door to get the paper. For somebody else, they're going out and they're walking. So everybody's daily activities and lifestyle is slightly different. We need to know to ask those questions. So we ask the questions, we listen, and we help people select the right product.
Okay. And then the third one that you mentioned was trust.
Trust. Today, I believe that from a consumer's perspective, it's all about relationships and trust. People want to do business that they're people want to do business with people that they're comfortable with. They want to trust that who they're dealing with is going to give them what they need. And they want to know, once they've walked out of any of our establishments, whether they've bought something from us, whether they call us, that when they hang up, they've had a good experience, and they know that they can trust us for what we've told them.
And those sounds like, I mean, I know that we're talking specifically about your experience with your customers and your organization, but those three things, confidence, knowledge, and trust, sound like they can apply generally to any retail business.
I think they can apply to almost any business today. And I think that the development of business, certainly for entrepreneurs, is to build those three things. Without the trust, the confidence, and the education, I think success can't be achieved today. That's my personal opinion.
Okay. So what we can do, we're going to take a short break, Brian, and maybe what we can do is when we come back, we'll talk about maybe means of building those three things and then some of the things you're up to in the future. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, this is Richard Land for Set for Success, where we're discussing what you need to do to be successful in your business, career, and life, and being successful and what that really means. Now, I'm hanging out today with my guest, Brian Scharfstein, CEO of Canadian Footwear, and Brian's sharing all of the great stuff that he had to do to be successful in his business. So that's the question, really. What are the things you have to do? And I know that sometimes as business leaders, we feel stuck or we lose focus or we have to establish direction, change our brand, do all sorts of things. But often it means that we're unraveling some complex issues, making some clear business decisions and establishing a direction for ourselves. And no doubt that for most entrepreneurs, they probably go in many different directions over the course of their lives. They try new things, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it sounds to me like Brian's a guy who sort of figured out what he needed to do along the way, along with his partner, Pam, to make things successful. So please do stay tuned to that. So when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Brian on what it takes to be set for success in your business, your career, and your life. And we're also going to talk to him a little bit about some of the future things that he's involved in, from the customers to the company to the community and even some of his own personal interests. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, but you already knew that, didn't you? Today I'm chatting with Brian Scharfstein, the CEO of Canadian Footwear, and we've been discussing about some of the things you need to do, I guess, to be successful in business, Brian, you know, that you've discovered.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, one of the things you were talking about disposable footwear in a previous segment, but I didn't ask you what the, and saying that you said that was about two-thirds of the market, what's the other one-third? You didn't really name it for me. What would you call that segment or that piece?
I might call it functional footwear.
Functional footwear.
Functional footwear is probably a good term because how many different functions would you go through? Are you going to wear the same shoe to go into the gym? So if you go into the gym or you're going walking, your function might be an athletic shoe. If you're on uneven ground and you're going to wear what might be a hiker, that might be what you wear. But if you're going for dress and it's subjective, we have a lot of people that will put on their suit, go to work, but at lunchtime change their footwear. So we call that functional footwear.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, because even for myself, I won't speak to my wife's shoes. I'll speak to my shoes. I would say that I'm a very functional footwear wearer because I have my dress shoes, my runners, my winter boots, but I'll wear different ones throughout the day depending on what I'm doing, right? So that sort of applies.
Right. And I think people, our consumers, have a perception of value. When I go out and speak often in whether it's care homes or I'm going into inner city and talking to people about foot health, a couple of the questions that I will ask is, number one, how much do you think a good pair of shoes should cost? And the other one is, how long do you think those shoes should last?
And so what generally are the responses you get?
Well, I get some people that say, well, I think my shoe should last for 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And a good shoe, some people will say, well, $50 is a good shoe. Some people will say $100 or $200. And I come back and say, well, a really good pair of shoes today probably should be between $125 and, let's say, $160. You should expect that you're getting a decent pair of shoes.
Okay.
That would be, and we know from experience that if you wear shoes every day, about 300 to 450 hours on a shoe, and it's going to begin to wear out, even if it looks like it's new, it's going to start to bottom out the material. So we have a pretty good idea because of my knowledge base. I've learned how to make shoes, and we're doing a lot of health care through our foot health clinics. So we really have to understand what works for people that are out there all day.
So that's an interesting question now, too. So shoes have a certain shelf life, like
yes.
Anything else. I know we're talking a bit more product and everything now. But you also mentioned about your health clinics, too. What is that all about?
I'm a certified podorthist, which in layman's terms means I'm trained as a foot pharmacist.
Okay.
And I'm Canadian licensed and have been since 2000. And my particular specialty is the diabetic foot, which is the neuropathic foot.
Okay.
Yes, I deal with sports injury and arthritis, and we have a full team that focuses on the biomechanics and people's ability to function all day. But people with diabetes are at risk of loss of limb. They lose the feeling and sensation. That's the neuropathic side. So their footwear is really a key component, because the three things that go wrong with people with diabetes are eyes, kidneys, and feet.
Yeah.
And so from the foot perspective, that's often where the problems start first. And that's why I take a big focus on really making sure that from a functionality standpoint, good fit is absolutely important. Wearing not expensive, but a good quality that will last is important. So we focus on those things, which really take us to that one third of making sure that people are getting what they need. Because again, it's a perception. Things may look the same. The athletic shoe that you see in my place may look the same as that $69 shoe. And why is mine $120? It's the components in the shoe that are providing stability, support, and give you that fit that's going to make that shoe last the length that you hope that it will, and it will provide the support and comfort that you hope it will.
Yeah, that's all really great information for anybody. I mean, because how often do we go to a shoe store in a mall or a box store, like you mentioned, or even we're at one of the other grocery stores that sell shoes, and we may not think through all of those things when we're looking to purchase our own pair of shoes.
And in our stores, we sell an experience. We don't sell the footwear. So when people come into our stores, generally you're signing up at a podium at the front. Someone comes to take care of you. They may spend an hour. They may spend 2 hours with you. And our customers have come to expect that we don't set a time limit. Whether you buy or not is not as important as did you have that experience and do you understand what you needed? And certainly we want you leaving our establishments or hanging up the phone or leaving our site and going, now that was great. I know what I need. I know what I want. And I know where I'm going to go to get what I need.
I love the fact that you focus so much on providing an experience. Speaking of that, your experience, you're CEO of a successful company, so I can't imagine that you're in the store all the time serving customers. I wish you were, but I know a lot of CEOs. So what is Brian's life like now? What are the things that you're up to now and focused on?
I have been quite involved in the community the last 10 years. In 2013, I chaired the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce and came away from that in 14 with, a bit of a void, understanding after being in the limelight and focusing on the community, what do I do next? And really jumped back into the company to see how I could work alongside of my partner. Pam really takes care of administration. She is the CFO of the company. She really makes sure that from a day-to-day perspective, she manages our 90 to 100 people and all of our locations. My responsibilities fall more in the realm of marketing. I'm the medical advisor. I certainly look at the big picture of making sure that our company is really understood. So it takes me to my job being building the brand and the perception of the brand. And we have three brands that I focus on.
Oh, okay.
Personal brand is build the brand of Brian Sharfstein, something I've been doing over the last 10 years. The brand of Canadian Footwear, which is really our overall parent and corporate brand. And then we have a brand called We Fit You. And that's really one that we take out into the charitable world, because we don't always feel comfortable throwing Canadian footwear out there. And we do a lot of work behind the scenes under the brand We Fit You.
Yeah, I think I read something about that on the internet, actually, and I was sort of curious of what that was. Brian, we're at that point in time where I got to take a break again, but I just want to dig so much deeper every time I get together with you, just so much I can start asking you. So we'll take a short break, and when we come back, maybe we'll touch a bit on about some of your key items here, personal, Canadian Footwear, We Fit You, and then some of the things you're doing today. This is Richard Land. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm chatting today with Brian Sharfstein, CEO of Canadian Footwear. Brian, just before the break, you were talking about, I'm going to just refer to it as brand, personal, Canadian Footwear and We Fit You. I was curious a little bit about what We Fit You was all about. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, We Fit You, I do my best thinking and planning somewhere between 3 a.m. and about 4:45 a.m.
And that's been you don't sleep.
That's been most of my life, where I wake up in the middle of the night and think. And the We Fit You came to me one night, and understanding that we need, this is what we do as fit people, but it's not just about fitting shoes. We fit lifestyle, we fit daily activities, we fit people's budgets. Understanding the demographic we're serving, we fit people in a lot of different ways. And so we have trademarked We Fit You for anything below the waist throughout North America. And we're currently building proprietary product around socks, insoles, and shoes under the We Fit You brand.
Okay, okay. So that's a whole other area that you're expanding into right now?
We are, for the next generation coming in.
Okay.
And which is, our daughter has joined the business, and she certainly is a little more, I'm going to say, younger and tech savvy.
Oh, yeah. I take it she's probably a millennium or close to. Or...
Yeah. She just finished a year at Humber College in Toronto studying the business of fashion. Mm-hmm. And she's taking a shoemaking course out there. But along with all the technical e-commerce and all those things that maybe I'm not as quick on, and she's coming back.
Yeah, just natural to
natural. Them. So the We Fit You, we're really believing that she's going to take that out there, and we're going to nurture that and see where we can go. So We Fit You has been a big part. And on the community side, we do a lot of work with a number of institutions like Winnipeg Harvest, Habitat for Humanity, Silo Mission, John Howard Society, and a lot of the things that we're doing with these people are all under the We Fit You brand.
Okay, okay. Yeah, and I think if anybody ever just throws your name into a Google search, they'll find all this stuff.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's all out there.
Yep.
You made a very interesting statement about coming off of the Chamber of Commerce in the limelight a little bit, and then getting back into your business, but really having a community focus. I know that you do some speaking in that too, and you're involved in helping, I guess, other organizations. So where is Brian today? Like, what are some of the things you're focusing on personally today?
Well, I think one of the things I enjoy the most is the mentoring program. I'm working with futurepreneurs and mentoring young entrepreneurs. I have done some of this with Asper School and Red River College. And getting out there and speaking, I love getting on the podium. It was certainly one of the things that used to scare me. I had a real phobia about doing both that eye contact. And so I got involved in Toastmasters a year before I became chair of the chamber, and to build confidence and a comfort level to do communications. And today, as I move forward, I'm looking forward and excited about being able to speak both about my medical background and how I can help people, but business, sharing both of the success and helping other people be successful. So any opportunity I get to get out there and speak, that's really what I'm hoping to do more and more of in my retirement. That's one side. The other side, I did take a fundraising course a few years ago.
Okay.
And I hope to help with nonprofits to raise funds as a volunteer. And often that means getting up and speaking in front of a room and sharing ideas. And I'm hoping that's what I can do in the years ahead, is help build our community in ways that are really important and set an example for strengthening both nonprofit and helping people that want to build businesses.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And future, like, I know some of the organizations you're speaking about, like Futurepreneur. I had one of the directors in and spoke to him about that. Excellent organization in terms of helping young entrepreneurs. There's other things in our marketplace along the lines of, I guess, Innovation Alley and some of the stuff that's happening down there too with the organizations that are really all set to help out the future business of Manitoba.
Makes a big difference. And Canadian Footwear on Adelaide is now located on Innovation Alley.
Yeah, I know. I biked by your street and I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. I am a little surprised to hear you say that you had challenges in speaking. That was actually one of the questions I was going to ask you. I was looking at your profile online, and you and I are friends with Art Alexander, or maybe everybody is. And I know that you go to Toastmasters. I couldn't imagine you being a Toastmasters, because you're actually an eloquent speaker.
And I think it's because of Toastmasters. If I was to send one of the secrets of my confidence and success, Toastmasters has been huge. And Art Alexander and I started the We Believe in Winnipeg, Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce Toastmasters Club.
Oh, you guys were the instrumental in that.
We were doing that, and I continue as a senior guy to go there every second Friday morning. And I would encourage anybody who is thinking or is involved in starting or growing your business, it's absolutely one of the critical things to do to develop confidence and knowledge and networking. You meet lots of people out there because I knew that I would have to get up in front of at the convention center, get up in front of a room full of people, whether it was the state of the city or state of the province, and talk to 1,500 people in a room. And I can't think of anything that terrified me more. And I was still nervous in doing it, but I never could have done that without the Toastmasters training and experience that I had.
Yeah, and that's actually really good. My wife did the same thing, very much introverted, and she ended up like teaching all sorts of classes afterwards. So I do know it makes a huge difference. It does help you build confidence. So that's for the listeners. If you're out there thinking that you should learn some confidence in terms of speaking, it's a pretty darn good program.
And it's fun. You want to make it fun.
And you want to make it fun. It's a safe place to learn, right?
It is.
Yeah. Brian, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
They can go to the website of CanadianFootwear.com. And they can reach me there, or they could email me directly at brian@canadianfootwear.com. And I do respond to my emails.
Okay. So if there's any questions that may be about branding or mentorship or anything along that lines, or just being successful in business or about shoes, they could actually contact you.
They can contact me. If I can't answer the questions, I love to do the research and find the answers for you.
I love to do the research and find the answers. I only have a few seconds left here, Brian. I'm just wondering, you mentioned about branding. How significant has branding been in terms of your business overall?
I think it's the biggest factor. The most important thing we do is build branding. Today, it's all about you as an individual. If you're, whether it's a one-person business, branding yourself and branding your business is where the future is.
Where the future is. And that's a very fascinating statement. This is Richard Lanford, set for success, and we have to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lannan, and welcome back to Set for Success. And what a show we've been having, discovering our roadmap for our business, our career, and life with Brian Sharfstein, CEO of Canadian Footwear. Brian, if you had one more point, if you could add on to the whole idea of branding, what would be the point you'd like to make?
You are the brand. In success, you are your own brand. But you need to re-examine that. You need to redefine yourself, possibly even on a daily basis. Never take anything for granted as far as that brand goes, because that brand reflects the perception that people have of you and of your business. And I can't think of anything more important than revisiting your brand.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually quite important. And I find, coming from an entrepreneurial background and my career, I think I've revisited my brand several times and redefined myself. So I think that's really great advice. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. And no doubt I want to thank my guest, Brian, for joining me today. It's always excellent when you decide to hang out with me. I've always appreciated. I'd like to thank my listeners, too, for tuning in. And remember this, do your best. Invest in the success of others and make your journey count. If you have any questions, send me a note at richard@setforsuccess.ca and you make it a great day.